I'm Dean Newland, and welcome to the Business of Intuition, where I coach, facilitate, train, and speak on the hard science and meaningful experience of intuitive leadership in business, so you can make better decisions, forge real connections, and creatively solve problems to amplify your impact and simplify your life. Welcome to the Business of Intuition.
I can't remember when, but I think it was probably a month or two ago, I interviewed somebody on this show, and they said something to the effect that people's biggest fears isn't public speaking or death, but it's really about three things. One, being forgotten. Two, being rejected. And three, being alone. What they all have in common is relevance. That do I feel relevant in what I'm doing with other people? Do I feel like I have a purpose? And without that, I'm feeling pretty uncomfortable. Well, my next guest on the Business of Intuition is an expert and a practitioner in the area of helping other companies, or I should say other owners of companies, exit their company with a sense of grace and efficiency. And his main message is, guess what, you all? Exiting your own company is a lot harder than you think. Not because of the transaction, because we can get all that information pulled together pretty easily. It's because of the emotional component that's involved. It's because you are letting go of something that has been the thing that has defined you as a person. So relevance, again, is the biggest issue for those of us who are thinking about moving out of our own companies. And I think that's also true when it comes to a leader within a company who is now being asked to let go of their job for the new person to take over. That sense of, am I still going to be relevant in my new job, I know is an issue that we deal with when it comes to coaching. So my guest is a guy named John Ovrom, O-V-R-O-M. He describes himself as a serial entrepreneur, and he founded his company back in 1991 and ran it along with several additional companies for 14 years. After going through the process of selling his company, he realized that other business owners needed the support of a service provider who can step into the business, develop a strategic exit plan, and manage the transition. What started as John helping friends and business connections quickly evolved into a consulting business. John then founded Exit Consulting Group, Inc., on a simple principle, the desire to help fellow entrepreneurs. John has an entrepreneurial spirit and is constantly coming up with new, inspiring, creative, and innovative ideas for exiting business owners. John Ovrom on the Business of Intuition. John, thanks for being on the show. Tell me your story, and what is the main message you want to tell people?
Thank you, Dean. Thank you for the invitation. My goal out of this is to help tell the story that I went through selling my own company and just how frustrating it was, how I assumed selling my company was going to be like selling an RV, selling a house, selling a car, and I'll do it when I'm ready. You know, car's ready. I need a new one. I'll just go sell it, right? I'm going to keep working on my company until I'm ready, and then I'll just go sell it. And then the people that were in the industry and the values that were there, I just didn't know anything, and it was really hard getting information. I was already busy. I was president of the chamber. I was coach of Little League. I had three different companies. I had 100 employees. Like I was busy entrepreneur. And when you think about what you're going to do when you leave, there's a lot more to it. And that's what I really want people to know, Dean. I want people to think ahead and actually get educated on how complicated selling a business can be, so they actually are proactive and thoughtful about it.
Okay. So let's go down that vein. What did you learn that you didn't realize about how difficult it was to sell a business?
I've kind of broken it up. I broke it up into three buckets now. So I've been doing this now for 17, I'm going 18 years.
And this being, what is
exiting?
Helping others exit.
Exit consulting. We just help people get out of their business. So our goal is, I don't care if you want to hand it to your kid, your key employee, your family member, you want to sell it, you want to hire a CEO to take it over, you just want to shut it down. All of them are exiting. you're gonna either do a Viking exit, which is you die at your desk. You know, we put you on a, you know, train and we trot you out and say you won, because that's what some owners believe is their exit, is I'm going to die at my desk. Great. Just get me life insurance so I can hire someone to run the company so your widow and your children don't have to deal with it. That's all I'm saying. Just, it's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. But if you actually want to hand it to your kid, or you have a partner who wants to buy you out, we help through all these kinds of transitions. And it's just much more emotional than I thought.
So I would suspect that it would be, having not gone through it, you know, I could almost liken it to, on a much, much smaller level, somebody who's got a particular position in a company and now they have to hand it off to somebody else because they're growing, they're scaling, you got to plan your replacement, succession planning, all that. On some level, much, much smaller, I'm sure that sense of ownership and identity is in play here. And when I sell my business, I'm sort of like selling a part of myself. I remember when my stepfather, who has passed, I was helping he and my mother move out of their house. And I was finding these old scraps of wood that he had used for all sorts of stuff. He never threw anything away. So I was throwing away some of his scraps of wood, and he filled up this piece of wood. There's just like 1x2. And he goes, oh, there goes my life, you know? It was this emotional connection to everything. And I'm wondering, is that what this is about? Is that people's identity is so wrapped up in their business?
That's the part that people tell business owners. And we as business owners go, no, it's not me. That doesn't apply to me. This is business to me, you know. But and I didn't know, and I've been fascinated seeing people go through, really the biggest hurdle is relevance. This makes me relevant to people. Mm. My friends, my peers, people who call me, who I know at work, call me because my friends are working. And when it all goes away, even if you have all the money, your kids are all successful, your health is there, you've been able to stay married, in the end, they wake up and question, what am I supposed to do? I don't feel relevant anymore.
And so it is you then, when you think about working with a client who wants to sell their business, is part of the plan, what next?
So we work in three buckets. We work in owner readiness, which is really what's next, right? Then sometimes what next is they're an entrepreneur and they've already got two or the three in their pockets and they just want to get rid of this so they can go chase the next shiny object. That's an easy one, right?
Sure. So relevance isn't the issue then.
Not for them.
It's something I can just transfer my relevance need to another business.
Exactly, right. But I think I want to be done. I think I want to retire. Entrepreneurs do not like to retire. They think retirement is death, right? So what am I going to do next? And if they don't have any hobbies, okay, and this is the other challenge. So many entrepreneurs, particularly G1 founders, the generation one who figured this whole thing out, this is all they know. This is their street fight, their cage. This is asking Tom Brady to walk off the field. This is asking LeBron James to get off the court. This is all they know since they were a child, is this is what I love. And you're asking them to leave what they love because you said someone said I should, or my doctor or my spouse, or I think I should. And it's a struggle. It's really a relevance. And what they'll do is they will use price, or they'll use terms as a reason why they can't. Well, I'd sell it, but it's just, you know, no one's going to give me what I think it's worth.
So John, question on, if it sounds like the valuation of a company, the process of finding another buyer, not to say that I am going to diminish the struggle of that. I'm sure there's a lot of complexity to sort of the transactional part of a business, getting ready for sale, finding a right buyer, and then selling. However, I'm sure there's a lot to it. But what I hear you say is that what's even more complex and more daunting to tackle is this emotional piece. And if that's the case, then how do you deal with that side? I mean, it sounds like on one hand, you're part business guru, but on the other hand, you're kind of part therapist.
100%. And that's the part that I need, that if we can get this out to anybody, that's the part they need to understand. The transactional piece, getting your business ready to sell, customer concentration, vendors, gross profit, net profit, cash flow, financial modeling, whatever, all that tactically can be done. you know, so we talk about owner readiness, business readiness, and market readiness. Okay, those are the three levers. If we pull the lever, they all hit dollar sign. Woohoo! We've got an owner who's ready. We've got a business that is just skimming along, and we have a market that's really interested in it. That's the ideal world. But we can't control the market. The market will be what the market is. Owners can control the business, but most deals get blown up because of the owner's emotions. It's usually the seven deadly sins. It's pride. It's ego. It's lust. It's greed. You know, it's lust for power, greed, it's sloth. It's like, you know, there's all of those seven deadly sins is a reason why we can't sell these businesses. And owners would rather shut their company down than sell it.
And how do you deal with that?
You let them know that it's a choice. Because ultimately, our job as advisors is not to tell them that's wrong. Because I sat with an 80-year-old who literally last week at 82 said, I think I'm ready to start thinking about getting out. You know, there's things I want to do now. And I was looking at him going, at 82, you think it's time to start? I go, okay, great. Like, who am I to judge him to say 82 is a bad time versus 72 versus 62 or 52? We're just here to say, okay, if 82 is your trigger, here's the steps that we got to do. We're going to shorten the windows a little bit here, but let's...
Do you sometimes, I mean, sort of going into the title of this little podcast around intuition, you know, you have met and worked with a lot of people, and I'm sure, tell me if I'm wrong, that when you start sitting down, you have the initial conversation, they're thinking about hiring you, there's got to be a part of you that goes, this is not work, or, you know, or this is going to work. Like, it's sort of a gut sense, like the numbers may work out, but going like, this gal or this guy, saying all the right things. We've got, you know, tax attorneys involved. We've got all the other stuff. It looks good on paper, but there's some red flag that I'm seeing regarding the person's emotional ability to let go. Is that something that you pick up on? And if so, then how do you avoid it? Do you just push forward and hope to God that they get their mental state in gear? Or do you address it with them and say, here's the deal. All this looks good, but you're not ready.
So there's a fork in the road, and when we're interviewing our clients, and it's what's the triggering event? And for us, we've defined it for cause or for convenience, right? Because if it's for cause, they're going to, hey, my spouse is sick and I need to get out and spend time. She's got LDS and I just need to spend time with her. Hey,
right.
You know, I'm getting a divorce. There are causes that they look at me. A widow calls and says, my husband died and we have to sell the company. So for cause, that's the sweet. We're going to sell it.
That's easy too, I would think. That'd be the easier gig for you.
It's a guarantee that it's going to sell. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but at least we know that they're going down that path. For convenience, now we start, you know, looking for our flags. Convenience are, hey, I'm thinking I want to get out when I turn 65, right? My goal is to be done, you know, in next year. I want to be done because COVID. Why? Is that because I've just lost all my customers, all my vendors, all my employees, and we actually still have a business? And so we want to look at for cause and convenience. If it's for cause, it's an automatic hit. If it's for convenience, that's where we ought to do with consulting. Because we can't necessarily sell everybody's company today. We oftentimes are just educating them on what their exit will be. So it's really about, what is your triggering event? Why do you want to sell? That's where we start all of our conversations. Why?
I'm just curious. Do you ever provide any sort of assessment that, again, there's assessments I'm sure that you do.
Oh, yeah.
You collect a ton of data about the business, the transactional side, but is there any sort of assessment that you do that sort of identifies the emotional readiness of the person who is saying that they want to sell it? Like, all right, I just found out that you're not there yet. Is there anything that you were able to show back to them so that they realize that the biggest barrier in this deal is them?
Well, them recognizing it, Dean, is one thing. Okay,
so you pointed out though.
Yes. So we have a question. So we have three different buckets, right? We have 145 questions we ask the owners about owner readiness. we have 75 questions about the business, and then we only have 45 about, you know, the market valuation. That shows you where we have to spend our time. And a lot of it is around, do you have enough money? Do you understand the taxes? Do you understand you can't write your personal expenses through these things? What are you going to do with your life after this? How are you handling this from an estate planning perspective? Do you have a good CPA, a good trust attorney? Do you even have a trust? Like, these are basic fundamental questions that we're going through that give us a really good understanding of where they are before we even start to go down this path together with.
All right, let me take a little bit of a sidebar.
Okay.
You know, you wouldn't expect Dean to ask you this question, because it awesome. Just came up. And if you can answer, great. If you can't, but that's fine. I just wanted to kind of put another spin on this. So let me lead into this. So when my father was going through his end of life experience, I remember sitting with a hospice care worker, and the kind of attention and care that she had for my father was just phenomenal. And I realized that while she was focusing so much on end of life, and she did it with such grace and spirit, I realized that she had a window into living while focusing on the end of life. Like, she knew something about how to live a full life by watching people go to the next level, by watching people essentially come to terms with their death. So she had this viewpoint that was not just about the last week or two of one's life, but about life in general. And I found that fascinating. So this is why I'm going really woo-wind, right? So you are spending so much, you're spending so much time on some of the struggles that these particular people have about what's next after my business goes. Have you gotten any kernels of lessons around people letting go of things or the identity shifts that take place at different stages in our life? Have you been able to step back and go, I've learned a few things about, I don't know, letting go or change management or identity as a result of spending so much time around people who are dealing with this when it comes to letting go of their business?
No, I do not have a nugget, because everyone's departures, for the most part, are personal and they can control the time. So for them, what you have to do is be really emotionally sensitive to give them space to feel these feelings and let them know, as a business owner, it's okay. I know you've always been the strong person. I know you've been the person to go to, but you need some space to understand this is going to be hard. You're going to struggle with your spouse because this is a big deal for you. This is going to be something where you leaving your business, and I have to talk to their spouse, even the employees around, that this is hard. This is hard for them to let go of control. They're control freaks. I am too. I'm an entrepreneur, so I call myself a functioning entrepreneur, just because, you know, as a functioning alcoholic, you know, if that's what you know, I
count you as a... Thanks for coming to the meeting.
Yeah, right. So I'm like an entrepreneur. I'm a business owner helping other business owners. So I'm like a bartender, an alcoholic bartender, you know, serving drinks, right? So I'm an entrepreneur, you know, business owner helping business owners going, hey, try this drink. It's helpful. But I can look at them honestly and say, we have gone through this 100 times and what you're feeling is okay. And take the time to process this. And it's really hard. For many of them, it is giving them the space and letting them know that they're going to go through this and giving them the ability to process it and know that they have someone that they can talk to.
And Jen, I want to push back a little bit on you, because you say that no, the answer to my question. And I actually think that you do have some nuggets. And the nuggets that I'm pulling out of this, and it doesn't seem like much to you, and I think it's because you swim in this ocean all the time. But I think about, I'm not making a transition into, all right, this is a very vertical kind of business, and I'm trying to find what sort of messages and lessons can we learn from you that would cross into people who don't have this particular job like you do, a leader, a manager in a company, for example. And what I get from you is, you know, when you transition out of one job into another, which in a sense, this is a transition out of one stage of one's life to another stage, is what you're saying is, which we don't hear business people talk about, is this is going to be hard. You know, right. You need to acknowledge how you feel about this. You need to talk to your husband and your wife about this. This is identity issue. This is redefining what you stand for. This is about knowing why your control mechanism is always so inflamed. And now that you don't have it, you got to deal with that. That's something we don't talk about with leaders and managers. We just sort of say, oh, guess what? You've been promoted. Or guess what? We're going to move you to another department. It's very transactional. And we just stand back and we expect it to happen. Then we realize later, whoa, that's not working out so well. How come? Because of some of the things that you're talking about.
To jump on that, Dean, totally agree. I tell our team, we work in fear. We work with our clients that they work in fear. They don't know it, but their fear is change. And they don't, they always try to be in control, but since they don't know where they're going and they've never gone down this path before and they're controlling, and this is their life, they are reacting in a fearful manner. So just be emotionally intelligent enough to allow them to outburst or push back on something, because you're forcing them to change something that they love. You're asking Tom Brady to walk off the field, and he's a competitor and he's winning and he knows he has to, but doesn't want to. And it's fear. It's what am I going to be and how am I going to, this is all I know. So if there was anything to tie out to the larger group is, when you're dealing in change, you're dealing in fear, and this is a very big change for people. So be aware that if you have any kind of change like this, there's going to have the emotional side to it.
So back to your alcoholic serving liquor.
An alcoholic bartender.
Yeah, just using that analogy. Like I'll coach an executive or I'll coach a CEO, and then they'll say something. And if I'm smart enough and I'm aware enough, I go, Newland, I hope you're paying attention to what you just told that person, because that advice is actually the advice that you should be taking yourself. So walk the flipping talk, right? And so I'm wondering, do you find yourself in situations that are similar in which you are providing the entrepreneur some sort of advice about how to move into this next phase, and to yourself going,
John, this is the same sort of stuff you should be telling yourself?
All the time, Dean. I am the contractor learning how to build somebody else's home so I can fix my own.
Okay, you know, so what are some things that you remember that you learned that you need to kind of grow yourself on that you've been telling other people to do?
So we are doing an internal transition on our own right now.
For my own company.
Yeah, for my company, for me. So I am practicing what I preach. So I have told my team that I'm exiting. And the definition of an exit isn't that I'm leaving the company. It just means I want the company to survive without me. I want to be out of the way, and I want the company to grow up, instead of having helicopter parent John over him, you know, checking everything. You guys are going to have to stand on your own and grow up and get married and make your own money. Like, I just want to do what I love to do, which is help people. That's my passion. Running a company, I've done it for enough years. I'm ready to go. But I also, they look at me when I'm giving these coaching advices to my owners, and they're looking at me like, that's what you do, John. And I go, hey, I know. That's why I'm so helpful, because I can connect with them. Like, I don't try to. That's just who we are. You can't take an entrepreneur and not expect him to be an entrepreneur. I told my wife, I am sorry, sweetie, but if you marry a military man, do not get mad that, you know, he's in the military and is going to be gone and traveling. Don't marry a police, don't marry a teacher. I'm an entrepreneur. That is what I am. And in that, I come with pluses and minuses, and I have some thorns with my rose, and I will try not to poke everyone, but I will do my best, but I'm still an entrepreneur. And acknowledging it is half the battle, I hear. But it is a constant battle to take it from an owner-operated business to professionally run, and me get out of the way.
So what's the biggest challenge you are dealing with personally regarding exiting your company?
Getting out of the... So this is a great... So again, we're just talking personal, right? So I would say, I'm going to go skiing. Okay, I'm going to go skiing for a week. And so my team said, okay, John, I want to sit down with you and talk to you about all the clients. And I said, well, I got this and this and this. And they're like, no, you're not supposed to check in at all for that whole week. Like, you're not part of the exit is you not. And I go, oh, but we've got what we've got. And so they made a great, I'm being honest here, right? A great comment. Said, John, your clients don't need you for the week. Okay. You can go ski for the week. You are the one who needs your clients.
Yeah.
And I went,
oh, ooh, good counsel, team members.
what? And I wanted, of course, defensive, like, no, I'm no. And then I was fucked. I was like, you guys, they're like, right. You're the one who needs to feel valued. You feel helpful. You feel, and I, because that's what I do. I do get my energy from helping people. And then if I'm not helping anybody, like they're saying, John, the clients are fine. We got them, but you need them more than they need you. And I was, that one still sticks with me. This is
really good.
That's
really
that one good.
I'm paying attention because that makes me think of two situations in my own life. So, you know, taking vacations is always tough, you know? And so we were going down to Mexico a year and a half ago, and my team said the same thing. You should not be checking email. And of course, right. I'm sitting out there getting flipping bored with my toes on the ocean going like, oh, what do I do? I've already been on a hike. I've taken a golf lesson. We've already had, you know, like... Yeah. I got to do something. You know, like, this book is boring. So I started checking email and I got my butt kicked by my team. And so then we went to Europe the year afterwards. And I said, all right, message received. I will not check emails. The only time I'll check an email is if it has to do with a dinner reservation that confirmed. And I got to say, I actually didn't. And it was very liberating. It took a little bit of coming down. Like when you stop drinking coffee, you have a headache for a day. I had, you know, kind of the withdrawal symptoms that were going on.
Right.
But then I got to really be in the space that I was at with my wife and our friends. And it was a phenomenal trip. And I am forever grateful by being able to have those 3 weeks of non-business, non-entrepreneurial Dean show up. It was great.
But you know that, Dean, mentally, but emotionally, it's really hard. And so then multiply that times, hey, Dean, it's time to get out of your company and let us run it. And you just go. And you're like, I can't even take a week without walking on a check. Like, I just, you know, kind of quit. Uh-huh. And so you get these business owners. This is 35 years. Their names are on the building. Their trucks are driving out their names on it. Like, this is everything who they are. And you want me to, I mean, I'm 70. I probably should be getting out. You know, I'm 75, you know.
Yeah.
But they don't know what else to do. And everyone around them is going, you have all the money, you have all the time, you have everything. They go, but I love what I do.
Do you sometimes find that these owners sort of slightly sabotage or create challenges that they say, I'm the only one who can solve this. That's why I got to stay in line.
Every time. And I do it too. And so do you, Dean. We do too. So, you know, I mean, in reality, if you try to run a company as an owner operator, you're going to, and be the center, you're going to cause problems, particularly when you get to a certain size. But if you ever want to actually make it a sustainable business without you in it, and it can survive as a child and it can grow up. And this is what I always tell everybody. I go, your business is a child. Your job is to put it through school, get it educated, meet other friends, go to college. Go get another job, get married, and live happily ever after. Like, it's not about you. And
I would just suggest that if you don't have it, and I'm not saying that we are that, but you might have some coaches or therapists in the wing to be able to tap and say, I think this person needs some help.
We do.
Because you do already.
Oh, yeah. So imagine this. So imagine this, who's my ideal client, right? So you deal with single owner or do you deal with partnerships, right? Because single owners are harder because they're more captains thinking that they can make every decision is theirs and they're just kings. And they say they delegate everything, but they're just basically allowing other people to do whatever they tell them to do. Partners are better because at least partners are talking to each other and are used to having a yin yang relationship. But if partners are siblings, okay, so you and I are brothers.
Really complicate that.
Now we're dying, right? Now, if I have partners that are family but multi-generational, so if I have a dad and a son, or a dad and a son and a daughter, right? There is no path for an exit that's going to end well in a multi-generational, multi-partner business that is not going to have some sibling or spouse that is not, you know, brother, sister-in-law, mother-in-law, they can't get out of it. They just can't. Yeah. And that's where I have to bring a lot of professional help because it's not about the business.
Yeah.
I can help the business all day long. Again, it's not about the transaction. It's about the transition, right? That's our story, right? Transaction we can do all day. Transition is where we get all blown up.
Yeah. The business is almost an after effect. You know, it's downstream. It's a lag indicator versus the lead indicator. It's, you know, it could be anything. You know, it's about relationships that we have with people, whether they be our partners, our families, our customers, our community. Yeah. And then it just so happens we have a business that creates the need to be in relationship, but the business is almost secondary in some way.
Yeah, right. Yeah, definitely. Right. So, but professional help is called in. Yes, but there are some times where you just, wow, your guys' relationship is so messed up right now. Like you're getting out, I mean, just horrible, like brothers and sisters that won't let their kids see their parents because they're not going to be around the grandparents because of the way that they did something, or you got one brother locking the other sister out of the office and then she turned on the air conditioning instead of the, and then she called police. And I mean, it's, you know, one, three brothers got all handed down, one third. Then the oldest brother, who's the one who's the more mature of all of them, he gets divorced, gets a new wife. That adds a whole nother dynamic to the whole thing as a new person.
Yeah. And I gotta split that up, or how do you deal with that?
Maybe. Oh, yeah. Divorce and new wives always add a definite dynamic to a multi-generational family business.
So, John, if you were to sort of, if there is one thing you want people, I kind of started off with that and you sort of said it, but let's go back to it, or if there's a new one. But, you know, what's your burning message that you would hope people would come away from this little discussion and go, that's not bad. I want to remember that.
An exit is going to be much more emotional than you think it's going to be.
Right.
It really is much more emotional than you actually feel. And I'm telling you from someone who's been through it. I mean, I remember just because I was so busy running the company, like I'm busy every day. I'm already working 60 hours a week. It's just a transaction, but in reality, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And relevance becomes very important. So find something outside the business that will help you feel relevant. And I don't care if it's taking care of grandkids or saving the world or joint, you know, world peace or whatever, but you need to find something that will fill that void because it will be there.
So it sort of sounds like in some cases, it might not be a bad idea to sort of step down out of the company. So versus like, okay, it's the 31st of December, and all of a sudden I have a job and I'm running the show, and then the 1st of January, I'm out. You know, it's a cold, stark, huge drop. That would be almost a shock, a slap in the face. But you're sort of saying maybe a graduated, pick up a hobby, let go of this one, let go back, and then create another life outside of it.
Right. Take a vacation.
Yeah.
Just take one for a month. Like how many business owners have I sat in front of 30, 40 years of a business and said, when did you take 2 weeks off straight?
Yeah.
I mean,
not very many.
I mean, for me, honestly, it's been 20 years. I haven't. Like, I'm not any better. It's been 20 years since I've taken 2 weeks off.
I've been in this for 30 years, and I took my first 2.5 week, almost 3 week vacation. That's an all-time high from the last 30 years. And it usually was a week. And even for like 10 years, we didn't take any vacation. It was like a long weekend.
Never.
My wife probably said, she put her foot down, and she goes, that's it. We are taking two one-week vacations, and that's going to become a business function because you're going to come back much more supported and creative, and you have new ideas. And so this becomes a business expense. It's not something that is separate from the business. And she was right. Absolutely right.
I know. And that's the personal challenge. We don't think the business can live without us. And yet it's really all about us that we need the business.
That's really good. Great counsel, my friend. So
thanks,
how
Dean.
Can people find out more about you, what you do? Just give us a little plug on that.
Okay. Our company is called Exit Consulting Group. So we help people all around the United States. Actually, we just picked up our first Dubai client. So,
have you been to Dubai?
Well, there's a partnership issue and, you know, we're trying to help two partners through it.
It is a wild place to go. Man,
I have not been there. No.
It's like Vegas on steroids times 10.
Wow. That's a good visual.
The buildings and the opulence and the size of everything, the money that's there is beyond our ability to comprehend. And then, so if that was me, I was there 8 years ago, and I'm sure it's gotten even more so. Anyway,
sure. No, it's all good. So, our website is exitconsultinggroup.com. That's got all of our contacts, the best way to reach us. You know, we're on Facebook, LinkedIn, all those things. But the best place, go to our website,
Okay.
I'm about to start WWW, but I'm dating myself, Dean, if I start that. So I have to not think, you know, WWW. My son's like, Dad, you never start with WWW.
I go, oh, no, sorry. No, go even worse than that, John. Goes, my website is HTTP /www.
That will really date you.
That is true. Or I don't even have a website. My
exactly.
Going, you know?
Exactly. So,
no, why don't you just give us your fax number?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, great. I mean, love to help people. That's our goal. Really, it's about trying to help business owners understand the exit process wherever they are. Everyone's got to exit, so I don't have to try to convince you to exit. I'm just going to try to help to convince you to do it the right way so you do it educatedly.
That's great. That's great.
Thanks, Dan.
Kind of the hospice worker for the entrepreneur.
Exactly. Well, we
call ourselves a hob idea. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we call ourselves the Exit Sherpas. You know,
I like that better. I like that better.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a delight, John. And have a good weekend. Get your butt out there skiing.
I know. You take a vacation, huh? You too, Dean. Take some vacation.
I definitely will.
Thanks, Dan. Right. Have a great one.
Bye. Yep.
Thank you for listening to the Business of Intuition. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about Dean or Mission Facilitators Leadership, go to mfileadership.com. That's mfileadership.com.